see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
It's like Westworld is real. It started with Jordan.
He was an early model, so he's not quite up to par.
But we think with some updates. Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
Hey guys, this is Emma. I'm back from Mexico City because I have a little thing called professionality. It's attached to my face, obviously. Unfortunately for me, but fortunately for her sanity and sense of adventure, Claire is off on a 2-week Euro trip. So everyone should just reach out to her on Instagram and Twitter, tell her how much you miss her, and let her know that her Instagram photos truly make her look like a Wilhelmina model, which, you know, some people would consider to be the top. Somehow, we'll all have to muddle through this week's recap without Claire, but luckily, I have a really excellent guest host here, Erin Dark, who you might know, you know, beyond this podcast, from really fantastic feminist shows like AMC's Dietland and Amazon's The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is here in studio today.
Oh, hello.
Erin.
Hi.
Thanks for getting up and coming in here to talk about some really important things like Colton and Jordan's modeling career. It's
just I mean, he's a Wilhelmina model, Emma.
Yeah.
There's only like 150 of those, apparently.
We really need to fact check this claim about male models because I'm not sure.
I feel like I've seen more than 150 male Wilhelmina models, like, in the East Village on a Friday night, much less across the country.
Wait, this is amazing. Wilhelmina Men is the unparalleled top male model agency in the world, representing more male supermodels than any other model management company. Like, I just believe there's more than 100 Wilhelmina male models.
I absolutely do. There are so many Wilhelmina models.
It's a very large agency.
Yeah, there are like 70 that go to like my laser hair place alone.
Yeah, they're all just gathering like at Equinox.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
200 at the Equinox in Greenwich Village alone. Okay.
But he's special because he lives in Florida.
Yeah, maybe there are only 150 Wilhelmina male models in Florida.
That's possible.
Okay, so we've got to get into the recap this week. We start out with just some really dramatic weather.
Yeah, especially for Los Angeles.
I was going to say, does LA often see these really intense rainstorms?
No, but I feel like I remember when that one was because everyone I knew in LA was complaining about it.
Yeah, it must have been really notable. You can really date exactly when they were in the mansion. Because it was raining in LA for multiple days, it seemed.
Yeah, it was like a shitty weather period that they do not know how to deal with.
But what we did get, which I really enjoyed, was some great scenes of like all the dudes just cozying up, making eggs in like jammies and like cute little hoodies. I was kind of into it.
Yeah, that's what I believe Jordan said about David. He's just cooking scrambled eggs all day.
Is that an insult?
I don't know. That sounds great to me.
Yeah, I like a man who can, you know, make me some eggs.
Yeah, I feel like he was like cooking for the other dudes as well. Like it seemed like a nice thing.
Yeah, Jordan's just like, they are both grasping go after each other. This is a mutual feud and they're both acting like 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also did enjoy at some point at that beginning, like, montage really was, while Jordan was complaining about David, like, making eggs, he also at one point called him a dry chicken.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't quite sure what he was going for with that insult.
I wasn't either. I kind of like it. Don't know what it means.
Yeah, I'm like, Jordan. I'm kind of here.
Yeah. I can kind of see myself using that later, just being like, oh man, she is a dry chicken,
that one. And David's only insult at that point to Jordan was that he spends a lot of time picking out his clothes.
Yes.
Like, my dudes, you got to find some better things to be upset about.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, that's not an insult. That seems like it's just a fact.
Yeah, that's true. He does likely spend a lot of time picking out his clothes. Although, to be fair, there's not a lot to do in the Bachelor Mansion.
Yeah. I'd probably spend a lot of time picking out clothes if I was
in
the Bachelor
Mansion. And
making
eggs. I'd spend a lot of time doing
exactly
both those things.
That's exactly what I would be doing.
We get a little bit of, you know, foreshadowing that the Colton and Tia stuff is going to come up because Colton and Chris are having one of those, like, man chats about how, you know, Becca just needs to, like, move past the Tia stuff for him and Colton to – I mean, for her and Colton to actually have a relationship. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, we'll so at this point, Colton says, like, Chris is the only person he's told this to, right?
But then Jason seemed to know as well.
Then everyone else seemed to know later in the episode. But at that point, he was like, I feel like there's a moment where he was like, you know, you're the only person I've told this to.
Well, he said that to Jason later, and I was confused because obviously Chris had known before.
See, this is the problem. I was saying when I came in, it's very early in the season, and I'm having a really hard time keeping some of these dudes apart.
To be fair, there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them, and a lot of them are just not, like, the most, like, noticeable human beings, seeing them for 10 seconds on TV. So I totally thought that both of those conversations were with the same person.
Fully different people.
I now realize that they are fully different people.
They're both brunettes. So you have that going.
Brunette white dudes.
Yeah, they're both brunette white dudes. I mean, I understand.
With, like, I feel like they both have bad hair.
They do, but it's different.
Different bad hair. Okay.
So Chris Harrison shows up. He says not everyone will get dates this time. There's going to be two group dates, one one-on-one. The first group date, Wills, Jason, Jordan, David, Jean Blanc, and Colton. It's time to relax. I liked a group date that only had six bros on it.
Yeah.
I actually feel like I know who all of these men are after that date.
Yeah, rather than just, like, the mass of human men being forced to do some crazy activity.
Exactly.
Yeah, it sort of seemed, you sort of felt like you got, like, a little bit more time with each of them.
And I guess they couldn't put that many people on this date because certainly, okay, first of all, they were not at an actual spa, right?
No, they were.
That looked like a weird classroom.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like they were in, like, an empty office.
Yeah. Like, they just, like, threw a bunch of, like, massage chairs and some, like, buckets to.
If that was a spa, it is a sad spa.
That's not a spa that you want to be going to.
If you walk into that spa, turn around, no matter how good the Groupon was.
Oh, it's totally a Groupon spa.
Yeah.
An office turned Groupon spa.
Yeah, where you get there and you're like, oh, I see. I'm getting what I didn't pay for.
Yeah, and then you probably have some random men show up and they have to do your nails and they do a terrible job.
Terrible job. I mean, but it did seem, I will say, like, it seemed like they were rocking out some massages.
I would take that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the six guys show up, and Becca has corralled her girls. Becca, baby Becca, Cien, Kendall, Caroline, and Tia. So the crew of women who were on the After the Final Rose.
Yeah.
And they're there apparently to, like, weed out the guys to ask them tough questions, except we didn't see them talking to each other at all.
No.
We saw no questions asked. It was a real missed opportunity. I wanted to see the women, like, interview these guys, decide which ones were cool, which ones weren't. Like, we didn't get any of that.
No, but I feel like it's hard because they just threw them all into this office spa. Like, it's not like they were, like, in a house where they could go into different rooms and different people could talk to do it. Like, it was literally, it was like, you know, 12 people thrown into a what didn't seem large office spa.
It was clearly designed to get Tia and Colton into the same room and make that awkward. And I was sad that we didn't get a Tia and Colton debrief.
Yeah.
I was expecting it.
I was sort of surprised that they didn't talk to each other. Like, Becca talked to Tia and Becca talked to Colton, but I didn't actually see, like, Tia and Colton talk to each other at all.
I don't think they did, or if they did have some sort of one-on-one, we didn't see it, which was an interesting choice.
I feel like it was kind of shitty for Tia. It was just, like, a shitty position to be in.
Yes. So, from what we can gather, they were DMing, FaceTiming, texting for a couple of months, because she said it started before the season aired, which was the beginning, very beginning of January. It started airing, The Bachelor starts airing like right around New Year's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it cut off when he found out he was going on the show, which could have been a few weeks or even like a week ahead of time.
Right.
Like, who knows? So this could have been a full 2 months thing. They apparently only saw each other once. I did read somewhere that they flew to L.A. and met up in L.A. because neither of them are from L.A.
Right.
But then I guess they only made out.
Yeah, she said they didn't do more than make out.
Which, I mean, from my understanding, she's fairly religious and he says he's a virgin.
Oh, right. I forgot about
that. Yeah, so.
That's right, yeah.
So, yeah, perhaps that tracks. But I still got the feeling that Tia was very uncomfortable. They shared that cringeworthy meeting of the eyes and the awkward smiles. Like, oh,
well,
God.
And it was also, like, did you notice? So, like, when Becca goes to introduce them all, she forgot Jason's name.
Yeah, that
very
was
relatable
incredible.
Moment. But it was also, if you noticed, it was because she introduced Colton. And I think there was, like, this moment where she was very aware of the tension in the room. And she got, like, startled because it went Colton. And then she turned to Jason and couldn't remember his name. But I think there were, like, but, like, that's why I wonder, like, how many people in that room knew how crazy awkward that was.
I don't know.
Like, were some of the other dudes just sitting there?
All the women knew.
All the women knew, obviously.
They had found out at least right before.
Right. And we think...
I was a little confused about how Becca wouldn't have known that Tia was talking to this guy if she was talking to him for months leading up. Because they had gone away together, like she and Caroline, and Tia had gone to Florida. I mean, maybe Tia's very private and didn't want to say anything.
She might be. It's also like if you're just like, if it's like DMs and texting, you might not
Want to share.
Yeah, you might not want to share. Especially if you haven't, like, met the person yet.
And if the network is still deciding who's going to be Bachelorette, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Because at that point.
It could have been. I think he likely thought it was going to be Tia. Which she said as much.
Yeah. I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
I think if what happened to Becca hadn't happened to Becca, maybe it
would have
been
Tia. It would have been Tia. Absolutely. It wouldn't have been Lauren.
No. No. God, can you imagine that season?
Oh, dear Lord. No, I don't
want
to.
No one has spoken for 30 minutes of television. But that's the thing. I just, like, felt bad for Tia. I sort of felt like... Because, like, that's the thing. Like, Colton was there, and I felt bad for him and the awkwardness, but he's clearly like, I've moved on. I'm into Becca. I just want to, like, shut this down. Tia's sort of the person who, like, walks into this room and sees, like, I mean, a sort of ex, a person that she liked enough to talk to for a couple months, whose purpose there is to express to another woman that he no longer likes her.
Yeah, it's a very uncomfortable situation, and Tia handled it really well. And
yeah,
she was extremely... gracious to Becca. I liked that she really drove home, you know, I hope that he's here for you. And that's I don't know that I would have been able to be so selfless. I might have been like, get that dude out of here.
Maybe. But that's the thing that's been so awesome about, like,
I mean, the only awesome thing, in my opinion, about Ari's season, but sort of leading into that this season, is like the girl love. Like,
it's
there's
really
like some
refreshing
real lady love between those ladies. And I feel like you could really see that in that interaction last night. Like, when they both told each other they loved each other and, like, hugged at the end,
really
I was like,
sweet.
Man, this is the love story I want.
I know. I always say that. I always say that. And it's true. And I do suspect that we are going to see a majority of these women, if not all of them, on Paradise.
Probably. I also wonder if we'll see them again in this season of Bachelorette.
We might. At least maybe, like, a Tia or a Caroline.
Yeah.
I think they're her Becca's closest friends.
I hope we see them on Bachelor in Paradise, and I hope they, like,
I think so.
I hope they also, like, find some good new dudes to bring in. I hope some of those Winter Games dudes come back.
I think I read that they might be bringing some internationals in.
Yeah. They need to. It was getting a little bit incestuous.
But I do think it's going to be mostly Ari's girls and then Becca's dudes.
And then Becca's dudes.
Yeah, like, Jordan, I would just put money on the fact that he's in Paradise.
I mean, we all
want
to. They're
going to just ship him immediately from the mansion to Mexico.
Well, because he's great entertainment. Like, we'll never end up with him, nor should she. But, man, am I enjoying watching him on television.
So wonderful.
It's like the perfect combination of, like, dumb but with a massive ego. That's just like, you can't write that shit.
No, I was texting with a friend. I was like, is he a real human person or is he a male fembot? And she was like, maybe that's the big reveal that they keep teasing.
Right?
Like, and I was like, yeah, it's like Westworld is real.
Westworld
it started
real.
With Jordan.
He was an early model, so he's not quite up to par.
But we think with some updates.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know. I feel like the Bachelor franchise would be great testing ground for realistic sex robots.
Yeah, for realistic Westworld robots.
Yeah. Oh, Becca has a very relatable moment when she says, I'm so happy I shaved my legs today.
Yes. But there was also a part of me that was like, girl, you are the Bachelorette. Are you telling me you are not shaving your legs every day?
No, she probably is.
She probably is.
She probably has to. They're probably shaving her legs for her. They're probably waxing everything.
Oh, God.
I know. It sounds exhausting to be the Bachelorette,
sounds
honestly.
So exhausting.
But she's handling all of this really well. I'm really enjoying her.
I mean, she's definitely, like, you know, like, if I had to, like, rate my Bachelorettes, she's above, like, JoJo for me.
Yeah, Rachel and Caitlin are,
I mean,
you
Rachel
know,
and Caitlin
just
are
special.
Just, like, they set the bar so high.
The other part of this date that I loved was Jean Blanc, who apparently brought his own hair tool.
Scalp
what do you
massager.
Call it? The scalp massager. Those things are amazing, first
Those
of all.
Those things are amazing.
And I have long advocated that there should be a hair-playing spa treatment.
Yeah.
Because what woman or, you know, man with some luscious locks doesn't want someone to just play with their hair for, like, 60 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, I would pay for it.
Yeah, me too.
It's, like, the best part of being an actor is that, like, you go in the morning and someone else does your hair. So you just get to, like, sit there while someone else, like, and sometimes it's even, like, tugging and weird shit, but there is still something just, like, so relaxing.
You're just, like, your eyes are slowly closing. You're
oh,
like,
yeah. I know people who nap in the hair chair, for sure.
Fair.
Like, yeah.
Well,
I can't
Jean believe Blanc was
Jean Blanc,
on point.
On point, man.
He knows what women want.
Yeah. Scalp massages.
Yeah. Scalp massages. So then we head to the night portion. Tia and Colton, we don't really see any sort of resolution, I guess, except for a resolution between Tia and Becca. I assume this is going to come back around, but, you know,
but
they sort
the
of part ways.
Yeah.
I wish we had gotten more, but I...
But that's the thing. Becca seemed to feel like it was resolved.
She wants to make out with his face.
Yeah, she does want to make out
with
his
fair.
Face.
So Jason, of course, kicks off this night portion by making a little speech like, I want to carry forward this good energy. Jean Blanc's like, yes, everyone has carried themselves like men of integrity today. We should definitely continue that trend. It's just the most beautiful. The producers must have just been like, yes, set it up for the biggest fall possible. They all have their nails done, which I enjoyed.
Some of them took it off, but some of
David and Jordan did not.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just like a marker.
But I did enjoy that for like the rest of this evening's portion, like later when Jordan goes on his monologue and sort of breaks down, like when they did the close-ups, like he would put his hand up to his face and he had those red nails and it just made it better.
Yeah. And David had blue. They were just like really in opposition to each other. What do we learn during this date? Oh, Jordan makes the oddest comment. I mean, all of his comments. but he says, I rubbed Becca's feet. It was just great to feel her dissolve into her chair.
I wrote that down, too, because I was like, what? I don't.
What are you saying?
What are you saying?
Also, like, when you're rubbing someone's feet, can you feel? I don't actually think you can, like, feel them, like, melting into the chair. I don't know why I'm trying to reason around this comment, but I don't know. We do get a really cute little interaction between Becca and Jason, who's really growing on me.
Yeah.
He's so cute.
Yeah. I know. I wish he didn't have the terrible hair.
It's an intense widow's
peak. I was trying to remember people last night, and I think I nicknamed him Eddie Munster Peak. but that's the thing. I just want to take like 80% of the hair gel out of his hair.
I know, and then he didn't flick it back
that's
so
the thing.
Much.
He slicks it back like some sort of like Wall Street movie villain. And I'm like, you seem like a nice dude. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll have to give him some styling advice.
Yeah.
If he ends up on Paradise,
I mean,
you know, he'll sweat it out.
I was going to say that gel won't stand up to that humidity.
It might be good for him. But I'm now thinking that Jason is going to do really well.
I think so. I mean, that's the thing. He seems just really sweet. She seems really comfortable with him.
She even says, I have a little crush on you. You make me nervous, which was a very cute moment.
Yeah.
Jason also seems like a nice calming presence among the men. He's like not really a shitster. He's someone people seem to be able to confide in. The other guys seem to like him.
Yeah.
He's a good vibe.
And he also, like when shit, like, went down with, like, David and Jordan later, the amount that he was, like, laughing, like, enjoying. But, like, I feel like it was, like, that same, it was exactly how I would be, where he would, like, alternated between, like, embarrassed and thinking it was really funny.
Yeah, as he's just, like, a calm outside observer who can just enjoy what's happening but not be in the middle of it. It's a good quality.
Yeah.
They clearly stacked this date with half drama, half the chillest dudes in the house. Because obviously Colton had his own little drama, but he's not like a naturally dramatic person. But he had his thing. David and Jordan are just always going to be around each other until they implode and both get kicked off. And then Wills, Jean Blanc, and Jason are just like there for the fucking ride.
Yeah, man. Just so chill.
Really into all three of them, I will say.
Yeah. Although, did they even show her, like, have a moment with Wills?
Not really, but we got some amazing reaction shots of Wills just shielding himself. And when Jordan keeps talking, and at one point he just says, got it. Like, Jordan is going on. Okay, guys. So Jordan makes a few claims during this date. Mm-hmm. One, he says he got a notification from Tinder that he got 4,000 matches in 2017. Okay, I'm not sure. I will say my colleague Maxwell is emailing Tinder to fact check these claims. And if we get word back from them, I will interrupt the podcast today. But I've never heard of such a notification. Maybe it does exist. And I guess if you're swiping on tons of people every day of the year, it wouldn't be that hard to get 4,000 matches.
It still sounds like a
You'd
lot
You'd have to get,
me.
Like, what is it, 12 matches a day?
That still seems like a lot. I mean, that's like literally talking about like every day.
Right. And he says he didn't do it every day.
Yeah. He tried to be like, yeah, you know, occasionally. And I was like,
he also said he's very selective.
Okay. Yeah. There's no way you get 4,000 matches if you're very selective. Those two things are in opposition.
But the even more wild claim he made.
Yep.
Was that David is just needling him. He says, what do you think your matching percentage is, Jordan? And Jordan says, 100%.
Yeah.
That is a wild claim. Anyone who has online dated knows, first of all, the algorithm intentionally serves you people who haven't matched with you mixed in with people who have, because it's a game. They've gamified it so that you want to keep going, you're getting enough, but you're not getting everything.
Yeah.
It just actually wouldn't make sense. I don't believe anyone has a perfect swipe to match rate. I'm going to say it.
Yeah, I mean,
unless you've swiped on like one person.
No, but apparently he swiped on like 4,000. Well,
exactly. I don't think anyone I call bullshit, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is just, also, what a weird thing to bring up on a date. Like, just what a weird thing to bring up and then to brag about and then to lie about.
Well, and then, of course, David is just a little shitster. I know a lot of people are kind of down on David. I'm still sort of into him. I mean, I feel like I know people like him, and so maybe that's why I sort of enjoy it.
I also feel like if I was, like, stuck in a house with, like, literally nothing to do with Jordan for weeks, it would be really hard not to play with him.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not the kindest way to act. But,
no.
And I do think ultimately it will be David's undoing.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I am too. It makes for great TV.
He also is so transparent. He goes to Becca. He's like, well, I'm not one to throw people under the bus.
I know. I was like,
but.
He was like, yeah, he was literally like, I don't throw people under the bus, but there is a bus coming and Jordan has a date with it.
Because he swiped on every woman on Tinder and he has 4,000 matches.
Yeah.
And then Becca, who obviously is not into Jordan, just goes up to him and is like, Jordan, 4,000 matches, eh? And Jordan just becomes enraged.
Yeah.
He's like, you're a skeleton of a man, David. And David just responds by saying, you know, I have trouble achieving 100% success rates in all walks of life. Cheers to you. They're just going after each other. And then David looks for backup and all the other dudes are like, nah.
No, they all just were like, yeah.
We will not be participating.
Yeah.
Wills has probably like fully burrowed under the couch by that
he
point.
He was like trying to make himself a part of the furniture.
Yeah, like, he and Jason were just like behind scarves and like. Oh, God. But Jordan talks to Becca and he explains that he's like a golden retriever as a partner. He's loyal. He's dependable. And he loves a good girl's day. I mean, good qualities.
Yeah, but he also, like, I have to say, I feel like he had a weird pause in that speech as well. Because first he said, like, I cook, I clean, I'm a golden retriever. And then there was the pause. And then he was like, I'm loyal. Which, so, like, I was watching it being like, do you think cooking and cleaning are golden retriever qualities?
He grew up with a very intelligent golden retriever.
He had a smart dog. Oh, gosh. I enjoy him so much, though.
But then he says that gross thing where he goes, you are something that I would like to see myself next to, Jordan.
Yeah. Also wrote that down.
Yeah. Jordan. Let's talk about a little thing called dating women. Women are not objects.
Nope.
They're not things.
Nope.
They're actually humans.
Yep.
He might not be familiar because he himself might not be a human. Yeah. So I'll let it slide if he does in
There is fact, a problem in the code, Emma.
Yeah. If he does, in fact, turn out to be a Westworld robot, then I will let this one slide.
But
otherwise,
that's the thing that's fascinating to me about just, like, listening to him talk. At that moment, you are something I'd like to see myself next to. Like, the thing it also made me aware of is that, like, Jordan is one of those particular people where, like, he talks to Becca and how into her he is. And at no point does he ever say anything that he actually likes about her. Like, it's all about him.
He's a good partner. He's
amazing. But, like, I don't know if he's ever said, like, hey, Becca, I like your nose, or like literally anything.
Did he ask her any questions?
No, I don't think so. I think he just talked about dishwashing golden retrievers and like.
Right. She asked him questions.
Yeah.
I've also never seen anyone look more repulsed than Becca did when he went in to hug her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we can safely say that he is a producer's pick.
Are you saying that Becca's not truly into him?
I mean, I'm not going to put words in anyone's mouth, but
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a real limb here and say that it is not her choice. He is still there.
So then after, of course, Jordan and David continue to bicker, and we get what is arguably one of the best monologues of Bachelorette history.
It's pretty good.
Like, it might be better than the Waboom thing.
Yeah. I mean, for its sheer, like, confidence, it might be. I was – the only thing I was sad about was that they teased it.
So, yeah.
Like, especially the, you know, attached to me is professionality, which that sentence is – golden.
Stunning.
And I was really sad that I'd already heard it.
About five times.
About
five times.
It's
been in all the promos.
Yeah, it's been in all the promos. And I just felt like you could have picked something else and just saved that delicious treat for those of us who tune in to watch.
Erin, as the actor among us,
yep.
Would you be willing to do a dramatic reenactment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I just think it, you know, this is a monologue you should probably use in future auditions.
You think I'm a joke? I'm a Wilhelmina model. I don't think you know what that means. I have an image. If you're trying to tear down my image and my 3-year contract, it's actually pretty serious. It's something some people consider at the top. So if you're trying to do that, you're failing at it because it's in everything I do. Attached to me is professionality. It's my face. It's in everything I do. It is my walk. It's my talk. If you're trying to wreck my image, then you'll never succeed because my image is me.
Oh, wow. Just got chills.
Yeah.
Just got chills.
Yeah, man.
It's in his walk.
It's in his walk.
His talk. His face.
I mean, he's got something in his talk.
I feel like if I was another man, I'd be like, the date is over. We have to go home. Like, the show's peaked. Should we shut down production? Like,
man, I don't know. I just think I would be, like, laughing so hard in a corner.
Wills and Jason. But Jason right after just says, that was fucking awesome.
I mean,
Wills is just like silently swearing to himself.
Yeah. Like, I think it's good that, like, at that point, I think she was talking to Colton and then he got the rose and the date was over. Because could you imagine if you had to try and go back into a date with Becca after that?
No.
I would be like, I genuinely am not trying to throw anyone under the bus. I just have to tell you what he just said.
Yeah, you're like, look.
Yeah.
Like, I just have to tell any person I encounter.
I just have to talk about this for the next 3 weeks of my life.
I mean, it's all I'll be talking about, clearly. Yeah. So, yeah. So then we have Becca and Colton's little makeup. She clearly is just like, this is one of the three dudes I'm actually attracted to. So I'd like to make out with him. So I'm just going to pretend this Tia thing is fine. We talked about it. We're good.
Yeah, it was one of those funny ones where it was like I was watching the conversation and I was like, man, it still seems like there's a lot here. And then she was like, it's resolved. And I was like, oh, okay.
I know. At first I questioned it and then I was like, oh, she has had to spend a lot of time with men like Jordan. And she's like, I'm attracted to this guy. Can I make out with someone I actually like?
Well, yeah, I also think like he clearly does seem to be interested in her.
He says
so
it.
So, I feel like if Tia's given you the okay, clearly, even if he did go in hoping that the Bachelorette was going to be Tia, if he has now gotten there and developed feelings for Becca and is into her, then so what?
Right. I do think we'll see this come back around, but for now, you know, I get it. And, yeah, if Tia is not going to say, hey, I have feelings for this guy, I don't want you to date him, then, like, Becca doesn't have a responsibility to shut it down.
Yeah.
But yeah, he says there's a lot he wants her to know about him and then proceeds to say nothing about himself. They just make out.
Yeah.
We learned nothing about Colton.
Yeah, he wanted her to know about the inside of his mouth.
Ba-dum-bum. So they make out a bunch. He gets the rose.
Yeah.
And Jordan is just convinced that the only reason he didn't get the rose
is because of
David and the 4,000 Tinder matches. Oh, Jordan. Jordan says to David, I've never seen a chicken so happy. I think I'm going to start being very implicit with my strategy. Yeah. It's like, my dude, I think you mixed up implicit and explicit.
Yep. Yeah, he's not the best with words.
We all have our strengths. Or is he the best with the words?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know,
I love him.
Yeah. Yeah, like...
Or like, I am a fangirl. I would like a t-shirt with his face on it. But I think he might be one of the dumbest people that we've encountered.
But so confident.
It's a fantastic combination.
It's such an amazing combination. Like, it's such an amazing combination. I really, like, I only hope that I get to play a role like that someday. Just that confident and that dumb.
That will be real gender equality in pop culture when women... can be Jordan.
Well, that's how I just like sometimes when I watch Jordan, I just think of that like my favorite t-shirt I've ever seen that's just like, God grant me the confidence of a mediocre white man.
Yes.
And I feel like Jordan is like the human embodiment of that.
He is, but like even elevated.
Yeah.
He's like the most mediocre of the mediocre white men.
Yeah. But more
and the
confident.
Most confident.
Yeah, than most of them. Like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He has confidence for days.
Yeah.
So confident that he's going to be very implicit with his strategy. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with a lot more on this episode of The Bachelorette, specifically David's busted face. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
I'm back at the house. Chris gets the one-on-one date.
Oh, yes.
Garrett is sad. I don't care, Garrett.
I know.
It's really hard.
Really
hard because Garrett is coming off very sweet in this whole date.
I know.
And I'm sure he has sweet qualities, but I can't separate it.
I can't separate it either. And I think it's hard knowing that none of that stuff came out until after it was wrapped. So, like, I watch it knowing that it's never going to be addressed on the show. And I find that, like, really hard because he's really good at seeming really nice, but
and I'm sure he is really nice to those people, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be clear, if you can express support for some pretty horrific views and still be nice to individuals in your life,
and
that's, you know, what's complicated about this stuff, because you don't want someone who has been nice to you to also like hold really abhorrent views, or if not, you know, personally hold them, endorse them.
Right.
But yeah, it's just upsetting because clearly she's into him. Clearly the other guys really like him. And I can't let myself fully get.
No, me neither.
I can't be invested in him.
No, me neither.
I'm just kind of grossed out. Yeah. So I was actually relieved that Garrett did not get the one-on-one.
Yeah, me too. But I from the, like.
Yeah, I think he gets it next week.
I think he gets it next week. Yeah. Yeah. From the teaser, I was like, ooh, that looks like her kissing Garrett on a romantic day.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of that this season.
Yeah.
So they go to Capitol Studios. And Grammy award-winning artist Richard Marx is there. Can you believe?
When they said Richard Marx, what was your reaction?
Nothing.
Who?
Yeah. Like, and then I did a little bit of Googling and realized, like, maybe I should know who Richard Marx is because he's married to Daisy Fuentes.
Oh, I did not know
that. And he used to be married to Penny from Dirty Dancing.
Huh.
Yeah.
And I also, like, then he started playing that song.
Yeah, and
I
was like, oh, I've heard that song.
I do know that song.
Yeah.
I just feel like they should have had him, like, playing that song when they walked in.
There was no facial recognition for me.
No. And, like, the way that she said it, I was like, look,
she didn't. Neither of them knew who
he was. Yeah, I
was
going to say, Becca's what? How old is she? Like, 27?
27, 28, yeah.
There's no way that she was like, oh, man, I'm huge Richard Marx.
And the fact that all of them, like, first Chris was like, and then we walked in, and Grammy award-winning artist Richard Marx was there. And then we see them walk in, and Becca's like, Richard, Grammy award-winning, just an artist. Like, his name is Richard Marx.
She hugged him like they had been friends for a while.
I think she's that kind of person.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they had met.
He's like a Grammy winner, Emma. You can't just hug him like you know him.
He's a Grammy award-winning artist. And that's the only thing they know about him.
Yep. And they know that one song, which is the same one song I'm guessing that I would know.
Becca was delightfully tone deaf, and I love that they just made her sing on national TV. It was actually endearing.
Yeah. No, I liked that.
Yeah. Richard is going to help them write their love song. Chris just looks
horrified. Oh, my God. Chris's
horrified.
Face when he said those words. I was like, it looked like someone just, like, killed his puppy.
Yeah. He's scared.
He doesn't
want to be vulnerable and break down his walls.
Yeah.
And be open and vulnerable. Well, and vulnerable and open.
Sad backstory about that.
Yeah. No, that was sad. His parents got divorced when he was really young. And I guess it seems like his father was absent and kind of left. And he wrote his dad a letter 5 years ago and never heard back. It's really, like,
that's
really,
really
horrible.
Really horrible.
Horrible.
So writing feelings is apparently a trigger for him now.
Yes, that's what he said. Or he just really doesn't want to participate in this date, and I would accept either explanation, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it looked stressful. I will say, though, that as far as bad poetry on The Bachelor goes, like, his was nowhere near the worst.
No. I just, like, don't – weren't they supposed to be writing a song? Why did it all rhyme?
I guess because if you're given a task, like – the difference between, they're like, okay, how do I write lyrics? I guess I make them rhyme.
I guess.
Or maybe Becca did it and then Chris was like, I guess I'll do that.
They clearly
too.
Had to have, like, written theirs at some. I definitely just, like, had a moment where I was like,
why does it have to rhyme?
Yeah.
I know. Songs don't normally rhyme.
I mean,
I mean,
fair,
sometimes I guess they do.
Sometimes, but not like rhyming couplets.
No, like, no, not like a poem.
Yeah.
They just wrote a poem.
And that's the thing. I would be more stressed out if you were like, write your feelings down and they have to rhyme.
But they did it.
They did
and
it.
And they rhymed. I didn't write down any of the quotes
Becca's
from this.
Was something about, like, you made me smile on a rainy day, and now I want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, yes. That was it.
Yeah.
That's cute. I mean, I think I'm just so, like, my walls have been so built up. I'm like, my tolerance for bad poetry is so high now.
Right.
On this show that I was like, ah, not half bad, guys.
No, I mean, yeah.
After all that stress.
Yeah. That's the thing. After all that stress from him, he has ended up being like.
His was sweet. And it was, you know, included words that I was like, oh, he has a vocabulary. Like, this is good. Speaks well for him. And Becca is like, that gave me the chills.
Maybe it was better in the room, Emma.
She found it attractive that Chris was uncomfortable and pushed through it, which I get. That is. It's a good quality.
Yeah. I also thought she was really sweet. When she went out and talked to him, I felt like she
Oh, yeah.
She just, like,
I just felt like handled it really well. Like, I thought it was actually like a really sweet moment, sort of, in how they both dealt with that.
Yeah, that was sweet. Given how weird the situation is.
Yeah.
It's like, this is your first date. You've had two conversations. Write a love song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They, you know, he ended up doing, I think, doing really well. And they had a really nice conversation later that night about his father and the divorce. And she clearly, you know, related to an extent. In terms of, like, having that loss of a parental figure with her dad having passed away. And I thought you could see them connecting on that.
Yeah, it was nice. It seemed like a like, after the Richard Marx awkwardness was over, it seemed just like they had, like, a nice dinner.
Yeah, I was not into Chris at all because he didn't give a great showing the first episode. Like, he's the one who brought up the, like, right reasons, whatever, with Chase or and so I wasn't sure about him, but I actually think that they had a pretty nice connection. They seem to get along. I don't think he'll be final four, but I think he might be like final top six or seven.
And then Richard Marx came back and played that one song that we know again.
He had a big day.
This
was a big marketing day for Richard Marx and Tinder. This episode brought to you by Richard Marx and Tinder. Back at the house, Jordan is like, Colton, I have a question. Do you want me to ask it one-on-one or in front of the group? And Colton at first is like, man, like, yeah, the group. And he starts asking about Tia, and immediately Colton just like cuts it off and is like, no, that's one-on-one.
Yeah, he did not want to talk about that. And it was like, but I love, because then he was like, you know, they were like, why won't you talk about this? And he's like, I just don't want to, like, talk about, like, he's like, I'm not going to ask you guys about your ex-girlfriends. And then Jordan was like, you guys made me talk about my Tinder matches in front of everyone. And someone else was just like, you brought that up.
I think, to be fair, he didn't bring it up to David, and David re-brought it up. But yes, he had brought that up himself.
Yeah, you don't. It's not like someone just turned to Jordan and was like,
how many Tinder matches
you got?
No one counts their online dating app matches.
I mean, I guess if you get a notification.
I need to know this so badly, whether this is a real thing. Also, I wrote down another Jordan quote, but I have no idea what the context was.
Oh, what was it?
I talk to God every day, and God knows.
Oh, yes.
What was that about?
Who knows? Who knows? But I do like that Jordan thinks he's conversing with God on a daily basis.
And God is affirming him,
obviously. God is affirming him. That is the thing. That's where that, I mean, that is like the ultimate confidence, when you're like, literally, I talk to God and he approves of me.
Every day.
Not
even like once in a while.
No, like every day I wake up in the morning.
God takes
and
time.
God
to
is
speak
like,
to me.
You're great, Jordan.
Oh, man. I'm just picturing Jordan like in his bunk bed in the mansion. Just being like, thanks, big guy.
Thanks. I know.
So we have one more group date, but first, David is injured. The most dramatic injury.
So dramatic.
I love that they dragged this out so incredibly. I knew that there was no chance he had gotten in a fight with someone. Because the way that they were misdirecting it and teasing it so much, I'm like, something fluke happened.
Something crazy happened.
But Jordan is just, you know, sitting in the living room looking smug while David is being taken out on a stretcher. And all Lincoln is like, don't die.
Yeah.
He's like, I hope he makes
it. Yeah.
I was like, Lincoln.
But it does also sound like there was
a lot of blood. It must have been very startling.
Staircase level blood. I can see how people were like,
Really freaked out.
Yeah.
So apparently what happened, which is just, I mean, we know he's okay. So I think it's okay to laugh about this a little bit.
Yeah.
That he fell out of the top bunk face first onto a stone floor.
I have always thought those beds were death traps.
How did this ever happen?
There was no railing or anything.
I've slept on top bunks at summer camp, like, as a child and, like, never rolled out.
See, I've, like, always bet if there isn't, like, a little bit, because those don't even have, like, I had a bunk bed that had, like, it had a little bit of a ledge, enough that if you started to roll, you would feel it. But those are, like, it's just a platform with the mattress.
On, yeah, I've slept on beds that don't have a railing.
If I was sleeping on that bed, I would be sleeping, like, far all the way to the wall side. Yeah, like,
No, I mean, I'm shocked that this hasn't happened before, and I didn't realize that the floors were all stone. That is really painful. Ben and Ashley, I had a doctor on their podcast today, which was amazing, and they asked him how he was like, I see children fall out of bed and get hurt, but, like, adults, it's rare.
It's because adults don't sleep in top bunks very often.
He said also just your body usually just recognizes when you're at the ledge. But there's, yeah, he was explaining how it could have, the various ways that it could have happened. He also said that if you, like, fall on your nose or cut a bit of your skull, that it bleeds a lot even if there's not a ton of damage.
Yeah.
So it probably looked a lot worse than it was. Clearly, if he came back that night.
He didn't come back that night, though, right?
The next night. Sorry, it was two days later?
We don't know. He didn't come back in this episode.
He did. He came back at the cocktail party. They blurred out his face.
No, I thought that was a preview for next week.
But it's the same night. It's that night.
Oh, right. I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. So he came back, I guess, it was a day or two later.
Right.
Because there was a group date. So I guess it was a night and then a day and then the next night he came back. So he was in the hospital for 2 days.
But that's still, like, that's how long they let you stay when you birth a child. Like,
yeah, it's probably pretty bad.
It's probably pretty bad.
Also, the way Chris Harrison tortures poor Becca about this. He's like, Becca. He goes to her room. He's like, there's something you need to know.
Didn't he say, like, there's been an incident?
There's been an incident with one of your guys. One of your guys was rushed to the hospital. He's in intensive care.
But the thing, also, as a viewer, at this point,
we didn't know.
We didn't know it had happened. What had happened. So,
I thought,
like,
he'd had a seizure or something. That
I
was
did
my
too.
Guess.
That's what I thought. I thought maybe he'd, like,
I thought he'd had a seizure and, like, fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
And then he just said he has a busted nose, a busted face. He fell out of bed and landed on his face. I was like, this is Chris's shining moment. He must have been so excited to go make that. He's like, I'm going to drag it out. I'm going to make it the most dramatic ever.
Yeah.
And then they, like, call David up and he's like, hey, Becca.
Well, I mean, he probably, it can't
be. He was on some pain meds.
Yeah, I'm sure he was on some pain meds. It also has to be, like, you have to be trying to, like, cover a bit at that point because you just went to, like, you're in intensive care.
And your face is destroyed.
For falling out of a bunk bed.
It's not the most.
It's not, like, the sexiest
it's
injury.
Not, yeah, I was going to say. It's not, like, the, yeah. It's not the sexiest.
It's not the sexiest.
But his excuse is, I'm just so used to sleeping in a king size bed. I was like, okay,
God, I think
David.
I missed that line.
Calm down, sir. Like, many of us have slept in many different sized beds without falling out. Like, I have empathy for you, but that is, come on.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I slept in a twin size bed. I just can't contain myself in one.
What single person needs a king size bed?
Maybe a venture capitalist with a lot of money.
Maybe he has some sort of, like, crazy, like, night rolls or something.
Yeah. Maybe he should have, you know what? Maybe he should have alerted production and not been in a top bunk.
He's like, I need a king size bed for all of the rolling I do at night.
And then we just flash. This was so fantastic. Jordan just putting a little kitty rail up on David's bed. It's a gleeful look.
I think I think they put them on all the beds.
They did, but they allowed,
Jordan to
power
to
drill.
That one in.
It was like, this is just such a beautiful gift to production, like, of anyone who was going to fall out of the bed.
Yeah.
It was a real gift to production that
it was David.
And then Jordan looks at the camera and goes, I wouldn't hurt a fly. Wink face.
He also said, I just finished putting up rails on all of the beds. as though, like, he's, I think he, like, maybe even said, like, I made rails for all of the beds. As though, like, as though
he's just
Jordan
out
just
there
went,
cutting
like,
the wood.
Yeah, he went down to the wood
sanding,
shop.
Sanding,
the bachelor wood shop.
That would be great. They could do something useful in their time at the mansion. Let them build furniture. This is a fantastic
yeah,
idea.
Let them build furniture and then sell it for charity.
Okay, so we have to get into, we're running out of time. Yeah, we have to get into this last group date. It's Clay, Leo, Kristen, Ryan, John, Garrett, Mike, Lincoln, Connor, and Blake. We can tackle anything together. They're getting real lazy on these puns.
Yeah.
It's just like, we should relax, go to a spa, tackle
yeah,
things.
They're not puns
football.
Anymore.
No, they're like... just like, we're going to tell you what we're doing. Yeah. Also, every giant beefy dude in the house was on this date. And then you had poor Ryan, the banjo guy, who's been in the show
almost
not at all. And he's just like cute and scrawny and wears glasses. And I was like, I'm in love with you.
But
I was like, I'm sad for you that you're on this football
date
with the, like, the guy who played baseball in college, the guy who is a professional football player, the guy who's, like, a professional sports commentator, the guy who's the Harlem Globetrotter,
yes.
and, like, Garrett, who just seems generally very athletic. Oh, and Lincoln, who's, like, a trainer. They're all trainers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's Ryan.
And then there's Ryan.
We have some women from the Legends Football League there to do drills.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I admit, I don't know anything about the Legends Football League.
Me neither.
I don't know anything about football. I'm
the
worst person to be commenting on this.
Here's the thing. I am part of, like, I'm one of the people that is a huge football fan and huge Bachelor fan. I'm in the middle of that Venn diagram. Still do not know what the Legends Football League is. But then I felt like a bad feminist because I was like, oh, man, ladies playing football, I should know about this.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome. They were, like, jacked, too.
They were jacked.
Dina and Melissa, they were going hard on those dudes. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Make them do all these drills. Lincoln is just a delight because he cannot do any of the fancy footwork.
Nope.
He's not graceful.
No.
And Garrett, that was a good moment for Garrett when he's like, I just was watching Lincoln and, like, he's so big and athletic. And then he just can't do any of the drills.
He just can't, yeah.
Clay, this was meant, designed for Clay to shine. Poor Clay. Justice for Clay.
Justice for Clay.
He's so sweet. He does, you know, he seems a little empty sometimes up there. Like, there's a little slowness. But I really
but
liked
so
him.
Sweet. Yeah.
I loved him this episode. He, like, totally, I was totally sold on him. He's so genuine. I actually enjoyed, some people have been like, why did he not dominate this date? Why wasn't he just busting through all of the guys? I felt like he wasn't intentionally. He was trying to just play his part, not be a show-off.
Yeah. I also, so we did a little bit of research. I was like, what team does Clay play for? And he hadn't played last season.
Yeah, he didn't play last season.
Because he was on the injured reserve list.
Right.
So there is a part of me that was like, I don't think you should be playing football right now, Clay.
I know. It was just a disaster waiting to happen.
It was a disaster waiting to happen. Okay, I also have to say, as a football fan, I was kind of impressed with the level of football that those Bachelor boys came up with.
I mean,
granted,
I don't know anything about football, and I could tell that they were pretty
good. Granted, we just listed, like, half of them are, like, athletes. But it was, like, I feel like for what I would guess a normal season of Bachelorette football game would be,
like, the athletic level in general on this season is really high.
Yeah, there were some good plays in there. Some good, like, catches. Like, there was, like, a great touchdown pass. And granted, there's, like, you know, no defense, really. So it's not that hard. But I was impressed. Because I was, when they said a football game, I was expecting to, like, watch a real train wreck.
No, they did really well. And then you saw Clay kind of run to glory at the end there.
Yeah.
Just decide, okay, I'm playing quarterback, but I'm just going to, like, run the ball right through the defense. And he was just, like, busting guys left and right. And then, of course, trips essentially in the end zone and breaks his wrist.
Yeah.
No one even tackled him.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
I think he just fell.
But that's the thing. That's why everyone gets nervous about their quarterback running. Because accidents happen.
Oh, poor Clay.
Accidents happen. And he's not, like, I mean, but that's the thing. I guess he's a tight end, so I guess he's used to catching and running. But, like, oh, man. I just felt so bad for him.
I felt so bad for him. And he just, I loved the moment where he was doing an ITM and he just looks at the camera and he's like, I got injured playing football on The Bachelorette. That's funny. And my heart just melted. And, like, I'm here for you, Clay. And he gets the group date rose because Becca is into his athletic prowess. She's into athletes.
She
real
is.
Real bad.
But I think also because he went to the hospital and then was like, I'll come back later to figure out exactly what this is because I got to go see Becca. Because that's he sort of.
I mean, they knew his wrist was broken, but they didn't know what was going to have to happen.
Yeah, they didn't know if it was like.
Yeah, how bad it was.
Yeah. So I thought he deservedly got that rose.
Yes, yes. So I guess he comes back during the little night portion.
Yes.
Did anything else really notable happen? Oh, Garrett showed Becca a tackling move, and they just essentially cupped each other's asses.
Yes.
That was.
I know. I was trying to, like, Garrett makes me so uncomfortable now. That,
I
like,
know.
Also, Becca was wearing some sort of, like, velvet jacket dress.
I liked it.
I did, too, but I was like, I don't even know what that is, but I'm into it.
And some of the styling, it's been a real mixed
it's
bag
been a
for
real
her
mixed
because
bag.
Her rocker chick outfit at
oh, that
the
was,
studio date was terrible.
Yeah.
Was, it was so confusing. Like, why? This doesn't match, does not match the Richard Marks vibe,
no.
I'm going to say.
They had, like, a Groupon for Hot Topic, and we're like, we can get
it
one outfit
weird.
From that.
But
it was so
the
weird.
Latter outfits, I thought that her. The slinky red dress at the end and this jacket thing were great.
I just thought that jacket thing was like, I was like, I literally don't think I've seen a piece of clothing like that before, and I'm into it.
She looked fantastic.
I couldn't wear it because I'd be real worried that people would see my underwear all night. But
that was such a relatable moment when Garrett goes to pick her up and she's like, my dress, I'm coming, please stop.
I know there was a part of me that, like, when he said, I want to show you some tackling moves, I wanted to be like, do you see what she's wearing? Maybe now's not the time.
Yeah, she's like, come on, could you have done this when I was in shorts and a jersey before?
Yeah.
Blake calls Becca his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Blake is so cute.
Blake is really cute.
He's really cute. I'm very into Blake.
Yeah. I like Blake.
He's a very, like, melt-your-heart smile.
Yeah.
And one of them says, like, I just want to take a nap with you.
Oh, I don't remember.
I think that was
that,
her.
Really
I think it was
sweet.
Her.
Yeah, that's really
And she
sweet.
Says, or he says that, and she says, oh, you think I'm your girlfriend? Because he calls her his girlfriend. It was just very cute.
It was cute.
They both seemed really giddy. They kiss. He's, like, he's up there. He's
I
up there
so,
with Garrett.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then Clay comes back and they talk. He says, yeah, he didn't want to miss time with Becca, so he delayed his appointment. And seems really impressed that he didn't get arrogant or cocky or anything on the date. And he's just like, he does defy every stereotype you might have about what a professional football player who goes on The Bachelorette might be like.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's like,
that's why I like him.
So sweet and quiet. It would be. I like if you just looked at that group
it's,
of men
it's
and were
disarming.
Like,
it's really nice. And unfortunately later, I mean, I'll just skip ahead a little bit during the cocktail party. We do not get a rose ceremony, which I hate when they
it.
Do this.
I hate it so much. Well, because then once they do it now, it's like we're not going to get a rose ceremony at the end for like the rest of the season.
I know.
It's
they
like
start
once
the,
they
haven't
cross
they learned,
into
the
it.
The audience hates.
I hate it.
Hate it. I hate it. So this is the beginning of, you know, the end for us, for structure. But Clay, I guess, goes to the doctor the next day and he needs surgery.
He needs surgery.
And I would imagine that a surgery on your wrist when you are a professional athlete then requires physical therapy and weeks of recovery. And you need to make sure it's healing correctly.
When did they start filming this?
March.
Yeah, that's like... I just like feel really bad for him because that's tricky because if you have to surgery and then rehab, he's probably not going to be totally.
Is he going to be able to play?
I don't know if he's going to be able to play in the season. And he's a free agent. Like he's not signed with the team right now. So you're trying to like get someone to hire you, while
sucks.
You're injured. I just feel really bad
you know,
for him.
He even says like his career is what supports his whole family essentially.
Yeah.
And they had a really lovely goodbye, though.
Yeah.
No, it was sort of teary-eyed. They clearly have a lot of – I think they both know, like, we're not each other's matches, but there's a lot of mutual respect and affection there. And that was very evident. And I think we deserve more Clay on our TV screens. And I have a sneaking suspicion he will at least be offered – he might be in Mexico right now is what I'm saying. Because they are currently filming Bachelor in Paradise. Yeah.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
He seems like a really, like, that's the thing. He seems like a really sweet dude who will be, like, the right dude for someone.
He's cute, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very into him, and I hope that we see him on our TVs
again. And also, like, you know, he plays football, but, like, he's never been, like, the starting tight end anywhere, so maybe he doesn't have too many brain injuries.
Right. Yes. That's, you know what? That's a real upside of all of this.
Yeah.
He might not have CTE.
Yeah.
So that's good. And he gives back the group date rose in a heartbreaking moment, which means one of these other doofuses has just got saved. And then we end on Becca saying he has such a big, big heart, basically. We end on Clay's exit.
Yeah.
Was there anything else that stood out to you before
She had her moment of, like, I have nothing left. I'm done.
Right. This is what breaks her.
Yeah. And I did have a moment where I was like, I get that it must be, you must be really tired. It must be hard, but it is episode 3. You can't be done yet.
You have so much left. I'm so sorry. There are going to be so many more tears.
Yeah. Like, that was a nice one. You didn't have to break anyone's heart. He just had to make a good decision for his life and his family.
You didn't even have to dump him. This is, like, the most beautiful mutual parting we've seen. Yeah.
So, like, this can't be what breaks you, Becca.
There's so many more worse things to come. You're literally about to deal with a guy who has a completely broken face.
Yeah, who I don't think you were into at all. Like, that's the hard thing. I feel like that's going to be the hard thing about David is that, like, I don't think she was really into David.
I think that David and Jordan are going to be annoying enough that she's just going to be able to send both of them home soon.
Hopefully.
I think so. I think they're going to outstay their welcome.
But it's
going
to be so much harder to send someone home with a broken face.
She'll have to wait a week.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, like, the obligatory.
Although, would it just be amazing if she sent him home while his face was I want it to be bad enough to live up to the fact that they blurred out his face in the promo.
In the promo, yeah.
So I guess we'll see in a week. But I'm ready for him to just be.
What if they just blur out his face in the whole episode?
It's like the black box, but his whole face.
Yeah, but his whole face.
You know what? I'm here for it. This is a suggestion, Bachelor editors.
I mean, I can also totally see, like, if I fell out of a bunk bed and fucked up my whole face and then had to go back on national TV, I might be like, can you just
He can't even wear makeup. I mean, he can, but
He
probably isn't.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's not like he, like, did something cool and hurt himself so he can be like, yep, these are my battle wounds.
He's like, I am a tiny child who fell out of my bunk bed onto my face.
It's a very dramatic episode, though. There were two ambulances.
So what are your closing thoughts? How do you feel about this season thus far?
I mean, I still feel like I'm having it's so early. I'm really having trouble keeping track of who everyone is and if I like them, because sometimes I'll see one of the dudes with terrible hair and be like, oh, I think I hate him. And then be like, oh, no, that's right. He's one of the guys I like. I don't know. I think if this season is hard for me because I'm so worried she's going to pick Garrett. Like, I feel like there's, like, this shadow hanging over me this whole season.
I know. I think I've just had to square that with myself and be like, this is about the journey, not the destination. Because ultimately, if Garrett gets picked, then there's no chance he'll be the next Bachelor. So it might be she might be taking one for the team.
Well, I also like to believe there's no chance he would be the next Bachelor at this point.
I think at this point he probably wouldn't be.
Anyway.
But I feel like at this point I'm more watching for who's going to be on Paradise and who's going to be the next Bachelor.
But that's why I think, like,
which is a little sad.
Which is a little
sad. Becca.
But I do think that's kind of, like, my season. I'm, like, a little bit removed from, like, the love aspect of it and sort of just trying to remember who these dudes are and being like, do I want to see you later?
Well, that's, like, always what happens this early.
Yeah. Or I'm like, maybe can one of them be awesome enough to rescue her from Garrett?
Blake, it's down to you, Blake.
I know.
Or Jason.
Yeah. I'm very, like, I haven't fully invested, I think, in this season yet.
Well,
It's still early.
It's still early.
There are probably many broken faces to come.
It's true. Yeah. Also, I think, you know, like, I was so upset about RE's season that I think there's, like, a small part of me that's still, like, forgiving ABC for making me watch him.
Well, thank you for, you know, pushing past that.
You know, you're welcome.
Despite your discomfort and coming here and talking about it with me.
We all have to do things that are hard sometimes, you know? That's what being an adult is.
It's what being an adult with professionality is, Aaron. And now it's time for Feminism Fails. We only have a couple. Somehow these guys are absurd without being total misogynist.
So far.
Well done, guys. Yeah, I mean, it's only, you know, it's still early. First and most egregiously, Jordan says to Becca, "You are something that I would like to see myself next to." I'm going to give that one a 4, maybe a 4.5, because the first rule of dating is knowing that women aren't things.
Yeah. I feel like a good tip. Don't call the girl you're on a date with a thing.
It's just a pro tip for all the men out there who want to date ladies. And then this is a small thing, but Leo kind of shit talks Mike on the group date for looking like a lovely blonde woman. I'm going to give that one a 2 because I'm not sure, you know, the intention, I think, was just to, like, be needling him. But yeah. It really bothered me and felt a little bit like, oh, what an insult that this man might be a little bit more effeminate, or that you might confuse someone for, you know, not conforming to the gender they were assigned from behind. Like, it just,
yeah,
it had weird undertones. Didn't love it. Gonna give it like a 2.5. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks, of course, to our guest, Aaron Dark, and to our producer, Nick Offenberg. You can find Here to Make Friends on Facebook and Instagram, and you can find me and Claire individually on Instagram and Twitter. Claire is at Claire E. Fallon, and I'm at Emma Lady Rose. And of course, leave us a review, subscribe on iTunes. It really helps the show. We will be back next week. Unfortunately for me, Claire will still be on vacation, but I'm going to have 2 very special guest hosts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.